I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
I'm just
sad.
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Hey Gloom listeners, it's The Plague. Question for you, are you ready to perform at your peak? Well, our man P-Soup and the Apex Men's Clinic is here to help you achieve optimal health. Whether it's managing general health concerns, recovering from injuries, or optimizing your hormones, they have you covered. Their comprehensive services include testosterone replacement therapy, cutting-edge treatments, and personalized care plans tailored just for you. At Apex Men's Clinic, you're not just another number. Their expert team is dedicated to helping you feel your best. Visit apexmensclinic.com today to schedule a free consultation. At Apex Men's Clinic, it's men's health done right.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Excited to get this guy's story out there. I've had a few chances to work out and share coffee with this guy, and have gotten to know him. Just really love his passion for his family and just the way he's trying to impact the community. And recently was a site queue at the Sandlot. I'm excited for him to tell his story about kind of receiving the flag and some family events that were going on there, but also just excited to get his whole story out there. So I got our man Simmons on today. It's good to see you, brother.
It's good to see you.
Like to start off is just from that first kind of EH journey, who EH'd you, and then if you remember, what was the first workout like, and then how'd you get the name Simmons? And I'm assuming it's like a Richard Simmons thing, but you'll tell us all about that, right?
Yeah. It's definitely Richard Simmons. Although sometimes I'll bring out like a Gene Simmons if it's a rock and roll themed or something, but the advantage of just Simmons, I can go a couple different ways with it. So, yeah. But thanks for having me on, and appreciate the chance just to come and talk with you again.
Yeah.
So the first workout, I guess my EH story was I grew up with High Life and Skittles, and both those guys had been talking about joining F3, and I played volleyball with Skittles for a while. And he every week he'd be like, you know, he's going out to the pit and trying to get me to come out, because we played at that sand volleyball court just right down the street from where the pit is located. And so every time he was talking about it, I kept thinking about they have those exercise equipment around the duck pond there. And so I just assumed it was a bunch of guys that just took turns going on a rotation, doing body weight stuff on that. And working at a gym, I just assumed like I was good on the fitness side of thing. I didn't need to add that extra little body weight circuit in there. But I don't remember exactly why or what had initiated it, but High Life sent out a group message with, there was like three or four of us that I think a couple of them had already came out. And then me and a couple guys that he was trying to get to come out, just like there was a Saturday workout. It was good weather. Firewalker was on the queue. So High Life just sent a group message out, and I was like, all right, this is the one that I'm gonna go. So showed up, and it was Firewalker on the queue. And my first impression is just everything's a different name, everybody's got a nickname. And I kind of, you know, they had High Life and Skittles had given me a rundown that would be the case, and just to kind of look around and just copy what other people do. So
yeah,
it was a good, you know, a good experience. And it was a big group of guys that day, being at the pit, and it was good weather, and there was a couple of guys that I like recognized just from around the community. And I know a couple of teachers from when I was in school, they were teachers then, and then they're out there working out. So that was kind of cool to see a couple of teachers out there doing it with the former students and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact workout, but I remember it was like group reps, like maybe bombs or something, where you're doing a down and back, doing some burpees on the other side and coming back, and then swapping out with your partners, trying to get totals on exercise. So it was just a real grinder workout. And I just remember, you know, I'm always competitive, so I'm just kind of looking at the people next to me and trying to push a little faster and making sure that I'm not the guy holding up our rep count or anything like that. But it was a good workout. I remember that. And it definitely was a lot harder than those body weight exercises that I was thinking it was going to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. What, you know, it's funny, right? Because at the park there, they've got those machines. And I don't know that we've actually ever used them, maybe just a couple times, right? That we've actually used those at the pit.
There's a couple of workouts. I'll sneak them in there every so often, mixed in with other things, though.
Yeah, for sure. Well, walk us through the naming. How'd you end up with the name Simmons?
Yeah, so I remember Borat was also a FNG that day too. And so he went before me and got the name Borat. And I was like, that's kind of a cool name. And I had known Skittles got his name because he said he's a Seahawks fan. And that was Marshawn Lynch. And he had the whole Skittles thing. So I specifically that day wore my Jacksonville Jaguars shirt hoping. And I have long hair. So I was thinking maybe something along the Trevor Lawrence line or something in that ballpark. But I don't even think I got past. I'm Jordan. I'm a strength and conditioning coach. And it was actually the two teachers, Rooney and Feeney. They were my former teachers. And one of them, I don't know who it was, but one of them said like Richard Simmons. And I was like, not quite, but so then that stuck. And so it was one of those names, like everybody says, where at first you're kind of like, crap, like Richard Simmons. But, you know, it really grew on me. And I have a lot of similarities with Richard Simmons. And I'll break out the wig and make people do step aerobics and the beat down. So
that's awesome. Oh, I love it. How cool to have some former teachers there too. I mean, that was a trip just, you know, seeing them and realizing like, whoa, this is a, you know, all ages, a whole community sort of affair. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's cool too. Just like, you know, running next to those guys and you get to talk to them about some things, like get their side of the story from being a teacher back then and my side of the story from being a student. Like, cause we were both, I was at Papio South the year that it opened as a school. Well, that was my freshman year. So we were like the first class to go all 4 years and they were both there teaching. So it's kind of a unique experience for both teachers and students to be there for an opening of a school and just kind of experience that.
Yeah. I love it, man. It sounds like you had a good first workout. I would be curious, like from your perspective, because you've got this background as a strength and conditioning coach, I guess what was your fitness or kind of your path like up to this point? I mean, before you did F3, like how'd you get into the strength and conditioning stuff?
Yeah. So it was really just kind of I went to college way too long and jumped around major wise. And it all really stemmed from playing sports growing up. I grew up playing football, basketball, baseball, and soccer, and then kind of slowly dwindled down to where I was just playing football and soccer for my latter part of high school. And that's where I tore my ACL my senior year. I got to play football, but I didn't get to play soccer. So I was still kind of wanting that finish to my career. So I went to Doan to play soccer with like a partial scholarship there, but I didn't have, originally my major was going to be architecture and they didn't have anything there. So I just kind of, I played that year at Doan and it wasn't just because of the degree thing. There was also some, you know, bad performance on my part education wise. So, but it was a good experience. I learned a lot of things, made a lot of mistakes, but you grew from them. So, but then eventually I just kept transferring around. I went to UNO and Metro and I got my associate's degree in architecture and then I was going to do engineering, but I just didn't like the math side of it. And the whole time I just kept working out and I was always in the gym. And at UNO, they have a really good strength and conditioning and just exercise kinesiology program. Getting to know those guys and listening to what their classes were, I was like, you know, maybe I'll just transfer to that. So switched it again and went that route. And from there I was hooked and it's been 6 years since I started working in a gym and it's been good.
Yeah. What's it like? I mean, just kind of thinking through, like initially you're like, I've got the fitness side covered, right? Cause this is like what I do day to day. And then you're going to F3 to get in. I mean, are you basically doing 2-a-days every day or is F3 sort of filling a space that maybe the gym doesn't do? Oh, curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, so a lot of days, it really depends on my schedule. Like on Strava, you'll see I'll do like afternoon runs, or, you know, it's always, I have time where if clients cancel, or, you know, in the middle of the day, if I have a break between clients, I can go do a run or do a lift. Or so it kind of depends on, I plan my week around my F3 stuff. And if I don't get it in, then I have an opportunity to do it afterwards. So, but yeah, most times it is like I could get a 2-a-day in, or just depends on what's going on and where I'm at on my goals and how far behind I am.
Yeah. Do you think for you, is it having the mix of like body weight running and then some weight training? I mean, is that sort of a perfect storm in terms of like trying to reach peak fitness as a man? What do you think in terms of guys trying to achieve their fitness goals? Should they be adding in some things that are in the weight room?
I do always think, you know, resistance training, like especially heavy loads, there's not much you can do to replicate that. But I always give F3 credit to say that there's nothing out there for like your bang for your buck, as you know, it's free. So really there's nothing, and there's far from it that you can pay for to see the results. Like working in the gym, I see people start F3 at the same time that I start a client, and I'm the one that's training them. Like I see the results at F3 way faster than the results. And I think that's just the account of the freedom to be able to come 5 to 6 days a week. And then you're also getting the mental health, and there's encouragement on your diet. And like when you're doing all those other positive things, they just continually snowball, where sometimes people are paying to come to the gym because they have all those obstacles that they're trying to overcome. And that's their one win, where then they'll relax the rest of the day, or they'll relax. So that's the one thing with F3 that I always try to give credit to, where yes, resistance training is good. Like you'll get some good bone density, and just for your later on in life, it is good. I'm not saying you need to go out there and max out and anything like that, but just some good, if you have a set of dumbbells at home, or, you know, just bring some heavier sets to some of those heavy metal or a steel mill workout every so often. Those rucking vests are good too. So there are ways you can do it. It's just, you know, some of the other added benefits you can get from those heavier loads.
Yeah. One, I have to ask, because you're in the professional world, do you ever cringe at some of the form or the speed of our reps sometimes? Have you ever kind of been like, oh man, guys, we gotta slow down so we don't get injured? Or what's been your approach to that?
I don't say, like, it's different too, because where I'm at in the gym, I work with a lot of general population people, so I've seen way worse form in the gym than I see at F3. And maybe vice versa too, but I really try, everybody's in their own spot. And as long as you're doing it with a form that's not going to break your back while you're doing it, you know, it's where you're at today. So, you know, we always give a ear tag some crap because he had these half squats one day while he was on his phone and somebody took a video of it. So, you know, we'll give you crap about it, but I'm not going to like call you out. And
yeah,
during IPC, I'm not going to look at your reps and tell you that you're, you know, modifying or anything. Like in my head, I'll know where I'm at and I know where you're at. Like everybody's at their own ballpark, and
yeah,
it's however you can get those reps done that day. So
heck yeah, you versus you kind of mentality. That's, I love it. I, you know, I would be curious too, from your perspective, because some of this, right, like within F3, we want to support each other. And so you've got kind of this personal training business. I would be curious, like at what point would you recommend a guy who's maybe doing F3, would it be good for them to reach out and connect with you and maybe get into one of your programs? Is there or is it just like, hey, I'm looking to build some muscle, build some strength, or I don't know, anything in that space you would offer?
Yeah, I really like, you know, if you're having some issues like lower back strength, or like if you got some sciatic issues, like some of those things where if you are having issues and the body weight stuff isn't helping, personal trainers are always going to be able to like help you dial into your exact thing. You can, a lot of stuff online that you can get pretty much any information you're looking for. And even like with AI now, you could just search your parameters, what you're looking for, and they'll give you an exact, you know, a better thing than what most people could probably give you. But it's kind of a, I don't know, it's just trying to find a good balance between the two. So as if you're doing good on all your F3 stuff and you're just wanting maybe a little bit more tone or more definition or more size, or even just to be in better shape for those IPC events or things like that, then there are extra ways to get it in. Or if you're not a fan of cold and you want to stay in shape during the winter, that's always a good option too.
Yeah. Yeah. I find myself at, you know, as we add more kids to our family, then I'm posting less. And so then at home, I used to always run, and I don't know if it's age or what, but I'm getting tired of the cold. So instead of running by myself, I'm lifting at home. And I think I've noticed adding additional days of weightlifting, I'm probably more well-rounded. I'm maybe not as thin, but I'm more lean. So I don't know. It just seems like the weightlifting is something that I kind of always said, oh, I can, if I just run, right, if I run 6 days a week, I'll be the healthiest guy I know. But it turns out weightlifting is added a ton of value, at least in my opinion. And I think my M notices too. So I don't know, for guys listening, add a little tone there.
There's some benefits to hybrid style training. Like that's what, and you know, you just got to make sure you're eating enough protein to, so that you're not tearing away from one muscle group while you're building the other one. And it's a good structure.
So you do all of it though. You do the, like I, you could help somebody come up with a diet plan, nutrition plan, and, or do the actual training piece of it.
So the nutrition side of things, I'm more like, I can give you my opinion. I don't have a certification for nutrition counseling or coaching or anything like that. So like legally, I can give you my it's always my opinion. And diet's actually the one side of things that I've actually struggled on myself, just because I always think to myself that I can outwork my diet, which I can't. Well, I worked at a pizza place for many years where that was my strategy. After I quit that job, I realized like it really was the diet was holding me back. And but so my diet's always been the struggle, and I'm still learning on a lot of those things too, and trying to hone things in. But little by little, I'm picking up pieces here and there.
Yeah. Oh man, I can only imagine working at a pizza joint. You got all the fresh pizza dough around. I think that, yeah, man. Well, yeah.
12 years at Godfather's there. So it's a lot of pizza.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. Well, talk us through, you know, so your first post, you show up at the pit. Did it take you some time to sort of get more engaged, or did you post the following week? Were you sort of all in right away, or what was your kind of progression?
Yeah, it took me a while. Like, I think I really probably only posted at the pit or the steel mill once the steel mill was up and running. So I don't think the steel mill, I might have gone to Danger Zone actually a couple of times, just because that was Papio South. So that was familiar to me. But it was really, I just kind of followed High Life around wherever he was going. He'd pull me out there. And so I think the first year I might have gone 20 times between when I started and the end of the year. So it wasn't a whole lot. And then each year I've kind of progressively branched out. This year was the first time I made it out of Sarpy. So that was kind of a long time coming. But yeah, that area down in Halleck Park and that kind of Sarpy South area, that's, I grew up around there and I live down there. So it's just a nice convenient. There's a spot every day of the week. But
yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. And that's, you know, I think at least in F3 Omaha, right, we have this really, really big region where, you know, there's a lot of sites all over that you could go to. But, you know, essentially, right, by design, it's sort of go where you can, you know, closest to your house, where you're able to get to, and it kind of fits with your routine. And then, you know, I think it's cool as guys get comfortable, they start branching out a little bit more. But it's hard, right, with the daily routine to drive 30 minutes to a workout and then try to get back home in time for whatever your home mornings look like. But what, you know, as you think about, kind of this, you know, so you got fitness and then fellowship, that second F piece, what was your experience like trying to build relationships with guys in the group? Did you like, were you able to go to coffee and kind of have conversations there, or what was your approach to that?
Yeah, I think the echo everybody else with the fellowship is really the glue that kept me coming back. Cause like I said, you know, the fitness wasn't the part that was really pulling me in. I really do like it has made me a runner. Like I always thought I was a runner playing soccer, but then, you know, showing up and there were like the first couple months, it was like Trench and Firewalker and Farva. And some of those runners out there were just always, I thought I was a runner and they showed me that I wasn't a runner and that I had some room to grow. So, like, you know, they didn't rub it in my face or anything, but they just, leading by their example and their pace, I always try to push it. But now, you know, trying to set goals that, like, I would have, I'm losing some of my lifting time because I'm running so much from that, just adding in that exercise. But the fellowship part is really what keeps me coming back, because I kind of, I don't know, it's like, it reminds me of high school where you're walking down the hallway and you kind of know everybody. Like, you can show up to a beat down, you kind of know everybody. You've had some, you know, bigger experiences with others than, but you kind of have that feel. And even if you don't, then you're less scared just to go up and be like, you know, what's your name? It's not like out in public. If there's a new person, you might not talk to that person the whole time you're out at the bar, but in an F3 situation, that's the first guy you're going to go ask what his name is. And so the fellowship is definitely what keeps me coming back. And that's kind of the, I haven't leaned into a shield lock per se. I don't know if it's just, I'm like a 1-3 time a week guy. So it's a little harder. High Life and Skittles, High Life moved to Iowa. So he's post, you know, he'll post when he can, but it's a very long trip for him to try to make in the morning. Skittles just had a younger or a newborn. So he's out less and less. So I kind of feel like I haven't, my natural shield lock isn't there anymore. And I just haven't really bumped into a shield rock or a shield lock naturally in that setting.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, you've got a little bit younger family too, right? So, I mean, I think it's interesting. I forget who we were just interviewing. We were just talking about, you know, as guys, right, what we kind of have to evaluate, like, what are our expectations for some of those relationships, and just realizing that no matter how many days you are able to make it out, you've got, you know, hundreds of guys that have your back, you know, the moment you need help or the moment you're going through something. You know, I think about, you know, our man barbershop and, you know, there probably aren't as many guys that he's had like deep one-on-one conversations with as there are that were willing to give money to support what they're going through, you know? And so you just think, like, you got a ton of really great friends and you don't need to really do a whole lot else, right? You've shown up and you've showed that you've got a shared mission and we've all kind of got each other's back. But I do think the shield lock at some point is a really good way to just expand even further. I'll say, admittedly, for me, it's tough, right? To just, where does it fit in with all the other demands of life? And so yeah, don't be too hard on yourself there, but I would be curious, like, how does your aunt and your family kind of, what's their perception on F3, or I guess how many kids do you have?
So we have one kid who's a month or a year and 4 months coming up here, and like next week he'll be, so I guess 16 months is what that is. And then we have one who's 13 weeks in my wife's stomach right now. So we are
Congrats. We're not sure
if it's a boy or girl yet. We will find out, but it's still early, so we're waiting to find out on that one. But so we are still a very new growing family. You know, I think I found F3 at the perfect timing, because it was like years before we had started getting pregnant. So I was able to kind of ease my way and just listen to all the stories of different dads and all the COTs, and you pick up little nuggets here and there, and it's helped me. There's a good example of where I was feeding my son when he was early, and I was feeding him through a bottle, and I was trying to like change the channel and answer the phone. Like, there was everything I was trying to do with my hands. And I was like, man, if you could just hold your own bottle, that would be amazing. And it wasn't like too long before that someone was given a COT about just, you know, appreciating the moments for what they are. And I was like able to just kind of be like, there's going to be a day where you're holding your own bottle and I'm going to miss this. So there's moments like that you learn just from running behind a guy while he's telling a story about something he struggled with that night. And you're kind of, you know, putting that aside for whenever you stumble upon that in your own life.
Yeah. That's super cool. What is your wife or your M think of F3? Is it good for you from her eyes, or is it kind of a nuisance?
It's definitely good for me. It's definitely, you know, some mornings my alarm will wake her up, or some mornings I'm stumbling around too much. But I think the flag pass, which because that was, we had scheduled it and it got rescheduled two or three times between me and Baby Shark. And we just wanted everybody to be able to be there. So the week we scheduled it, it was around the ballpark of when we could have had our baby, but we're like, what are the odds it's going to be that day? Sure enough, the week of, that's the week that they had scheduled for her to be induced. So we had to put it on. It was like the week, that Monday, the tweet had already gone out. Everything was all set. And then that Monday, they set the appointment for Thursday at 5 a.m. I was like, the exact time of the flag pass.
Right.
So,
had to reschedule.
Little things like that. She, it's can be a nuisance, but I don't think there's way more positives to just me evolving as a father and as a husband that she sees. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, right? No, that's really cool. So, and at some point, because you have a son.
Yes. Yeah. His name's.
It'll be cool at some point to, you'll get to bring him out, right? Kind of introduce him to the group, get him a nickname, all that.
We keep joking like it's going to be like either, Billy Blanks or like John Baystow or some of those older exercise people.
But he'll have no clue who it is, but you'll have to way show him the video. I love it. Well, I do think that, second F is just, like you said, it's the glue and there's coffee pre-running. I would be curious, any other like second F type things that you have found helpful, just kind of developing relationships like happy hours or trivia nights or any of those things? You had a chance to do any of those?
So those ones I actually haven't been able to get out to. The one I want to try to get to, and it's just every week I can't. I have a 4 o'clock group Monday through Friday, and so I could maybe make it for one drink at Cross Fairy Nectar. Mm-hmm. But that's I don't think I'd be a great trainer if I showed up one beer already drank on a Friday.
Yeah,
but,
they might want their money back after that, right?
They're like, you're a little animated today.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
So I need to be better about going out to some of those. Really, I think the coffees and the pre-running. Running is that's where I get most of my conversation going. And even sometimes I like to just, like I said, hang back behind people who are having, not like I'm creeping on them, but just, if they're in a conversation and I catch up to them, because a lot of times I show up late, like 5 minutes late or so. So I'm playing the catch-up game and I'll just not interrupt their conversation and kind of just listen to what they're saying, and it's a good option other than huffing and puffing while you're trying to do it. But pre-running, like you vent out a lot of things, and it's a lot of therapy time sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? There's some informal, like, I don't know, mentorship almost that occurs there, right? And it's sort of between everybody, you hear somebody that's going through something or that went through something, and as they're sharing that story, I love how you kind of mentioned like you kind of lock that away, and at some point you need that and you kind of remember, here's the mindset I should have, or here's the approach that this other guy took that was really helpful. So I love that, and I think it happens so organically either during a run or beat down, or I think that's a really cool perspective on that.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. Showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today. Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
What, the other sort of F, right? So fitness, fellowship, faith, thinking about that third F, and, you kind of got two different components, in F3, right? There's like the faith or like the spiritual aspect of it. And then there's also kind of the community service piece. I would be curious, what's been your journey from kind of that faith, spiritual perspective? Is that something that has been a part of your life growing up or throughout high school, college, or is that something you're kind of still working through?
Yeah, so really like growing up, I grew up in a Christian household. My parents were divorced when I was young, and my mom lived with my grandpa, her dad, for pretty much the majority of my childhood. And he was a missionary where he'd spend 6 of the years over in Russia. He started a church over there. So he would do 6 of the months over there. And then 6 of the months he'd come back where we shared a bedroom in our 2-bedroom apartment. So it's kind of like, you know, just clashing of generations between me and him. But so for a while, I don't know if it was like I rebelled against, I knew everything I was supposed to do. And I always thought I was taking advantage of the system because I knew someday I could come back and ask for forgiveness and everything would be okay. But I don't know. It was just kind of like I was living that double life for probably the majority of my high school and college life. I still would go to church and I knew everything I was doing was wrong. And I knew someday I would be a better person or hope that I would be a better person or get the chance to, you know, live that long to become that person. And luckily I did. And I was able to, you know, realize some of those things weren't the path that I should be going on. And I think maybe just like when I met my wife, I was leaning back in at the same time as meeting her, and she is her dad is a pastor at a church. So I kind of started going to their church. I was splitting time between a couple of different churches with my mom and with her. But yeah, so it's always been a part of my life. And I think I've leaned into that side of the F3, the third F, where I'm real open with my religion and just my faith and able to talk to people about it. Or, you know, I'm not really shy about any of that kind of stuff. Or in my COTs, I tend to have some sort of third F application or So with my wife's dad being a pastor, he has a church that he's like the founder of, or I don't know what you would call it, but he asked me to be a part of the leadership team. And a part of that is I'll give like a little 5-minute speech prior to his sermon every week. So, and it's kind of just whatever he's talking on, I try to tie that into just real world application. So a lot of times my COTs are similar to that, where it ends up almost being like a little sermon. Like I'll tie something F3 at the start and then like wrap it up into a little piece of Bible or something like that. So
that's cool.
Where I need to be better is the community out, you know, the donations and some of the, I've never actually donated blood, and that's one of my goals this year. So I think if there's one December, I'm going to try to get on that one to check off another goal for the year. But it's just one of those things, the opportunity, I haven't really had a good chance to do it. So
for sure. Well, and if you're doing the blood drive, you've got some, there's some competition there, right? The guys get pretty worked up around the bleed times, around how fast you can donate the blood. But you know, it's interesting working in healthcare and seeing, just the impact that blood donation has. And you know, it seems pretty simple, right? Of all the things you go do, it doesn't take a ton of time. And, you know, depending on your health, right, you probably can afford to donate the blood, and just the impact that has on the care that other people are able to receive. It's a pretty big deal. So definitely one to get out there. But I, you know, like you, it's, you know, you got to make time for it, right? Because if I don't, then everything else will kind of creep in, right, and easily fill my calendar. So that's, I'm working on that as well, trying to get I've got a 9-year-old that I'm trying to get pull her along with me to kind of see, you know, my strategy is I hope if we can serve some folks that she might see how good she has it, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that will work or not. But I love your story because I think it's so relatable in terms of, like, you know, growing up in a Christian household and kind of falling away and then maybe making your way back to finding a church. But I did hear a little bit in there that I think is maybe something that most guys wouldn't have in their background. I wonder if you could unpack for us a little bit about the just living with your mom in this apartment and having, you said it was her dad that was a missionary in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like? That seems kind of like there's maybe more to that story. What was that time of your life like, if you don't mind?
It was good. Like with my mom and dad, they were split up, and it wasn't like my dad was always kind of there, but he wasn't fully committed, or the days that he was supposed to pick me up, he might be late, or, you know, someone else might have to come get me. Like when we still have a good relationship now, it's not as great as it could be, but we're never on bad terms where we just weren't talking. It's just kind of, he wasn't always in the pictures. Having my grandpa there, I think, was my mom's way of And he needed a place, you know, he wasn't going to have a place to stay for half the year. Like, it was just an easy situation for her to have a free male role model for me for half the year. And, you know, it worked out real good for our situation and his situation. And there was a lot of just, you know, he's an old Western black and white, and I'm a cartoon 90s kid who just, so there was a lot of those kind of clashes. But I wish he passed away before, I think it was 2001 or so. I was maybe 10 when he passed away. So I didn't get to have like the adult interaction or even just like the young, like adolescence where he got to see me grow up a little bit more. But I do, like, there's a lot of things that I remember, just, you know, little sayings that stuck with me, that his positive attitude always, I think that's where maybe a lot of my optimism comes from.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, and, you know, I think as you're growing your family, right, just the seeing the impact that a positive male role model can have on a kid, right, and just realizing, you know, the type of father or man that you want to be. I mean, it's just so cool to have those people in our lives. You know, I think it's just cool. And I have no doubt you're doing that with your son. What's this sort of first year of fatherhood been like?
It's been good. And honestly, I think, like, everybody always says the first child is nice. Like, they lull you into having that second one. So we're like, fingers crossed that this second one's just going to be, you know, just as good as this first one was. But he, you know, we try not to like say too much and have to knock on wood or whatever it is and jinx it, but he sleeps good. He's been a pretty fun baby. Like, he's interacting now, or he's running around, he's throwing things. He's like he's just engaging and interacting more. And we're at that real fun stage. So, yeah. Honestly, I do think that part of me, just maybe the way I was brought up, I always say I was raised by a bunch of single women, because my mom and her best friend and pretty much all their siblings were all single women, single mothers. And even both my grandpas died early. So both my grandmas were like, it was just, I was surrounded by single women. So I think I just have always craved to be that, like, that father that I didn't see in a lot of families' lives. And so I do kind of, it's worked out good with my schedule with work, where I'm able to spend half the day, like, I don't have to be at work until 1 most days, so I'm able to be with him for the first half of the day. And eventually, when he's schooling, we've talked about homeschooling or some of those situations where I would probably be the one that would be spending time with him, so I can just have a really active hands-on role as a father. And so I'm really enjoying it.
That's cool. That's super cool. And you've got, you know, that's the other piece, kind of like that mentoring we talked about, right, where you get to see a lot of these guys, you know, doing it firsthand, right? And we're kind of all in this together, trying to figure out how do we, you know, be the best dad. And everybody's kids are at different stages. So I've really enjoyed, because I'm similarly to you, right? I didn't necessarily have what I would consider the best role models growing up. And so I've had to learn some things the hard way, but I'm learning a lot through the guys that are out there posting. So it's really cool. And kudos to you just being present. I think that's what I'm learning, is it's not necessarily about being a manly man and like hunting and doing all of that sort of stuff, but it's more just about being present and being able to teach your kids what it means to be loved, right? And accepted. And there's so much we can do just by being there. So that's kudos to you for doing that, even on the first one, man. You know, everybody always said the second one, you know, then you're playing man to man, and then the third one is really hard. And we just had our third, and I think it's been the biggest sort of challenge for us. But I didn't believe people when they said that. So just, you know, keep that in mind. But, you know, the other piece, just kind of thinking through your story, is there, you know, anything that, you know, maybe guys wouldn't know or wouldn't guess is kind of part of your story that you feel like is maybe core to who you are? Anything on that list that you'd be willing to share with us?
I don't know. Like, really, it's just that only child piece, and just that I am a real, like, I do find a lot of my positivity and my outlook on life comes from my faith and the, just really, like, everything. I always say I'm religiously pragmatic, where everything happens for a reason, and it happens because of something that God is in control of. So even if it's something that is a negative thing, Like funerals are always a hard one, but it's like, you don't know if somebody had to go to that funeral because there was a message going to be given at that funeral. And that was the only message they've ever heard. And they were able to, you know, come to Christ because of that message. Or you never know what God is working in his plan. So that's, I always just have a religiously pragmatic view on optimism, and that whatever is happening, you know, we have our free choice. It's not like that nothing's out of our, or everything's out of our control. We choose it, but then God uses it in his plan for his plan. So it's, it kind of takes a little pressure off of you, I guess.
Heck yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. And, you know, I think I would be curious, like being an only child, does that, how do you feel like that impacts you as you're kind of navigating through life and relationships? Do you feel like that has impacted you in any sort of way?
I think that's my biggest, like why. So just growing up, I always felt like the odd man out. Like even with my real close friends, they had met each other first before I kind of joined the group. So there's always the two, and then I was the third, or, you know, just that's always kind of been the way that I felt. So even in F3, like I need that, F3 is that extra pull to come and get that second. Like I never had a group, like a sibling group, or, you know, a good friend group. Like it's just always been a big group of guys. So that's, F3 has kind of filled that hole where, you know, I haven't really been able to find it since high school and since some of those legacy friends, I guess is what we call them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think that's such, it sounds so simple, but I think, you know, so much of what I see us doing, right, we're trying to invigorate or reinvigorate male community leadership. And we, like the way I've watched us do that is we basically help guys to gain or regain confidence, right? And so just like being accepted gives you so much confidence. And so, you know, not only do we accept you, but then we call you to lead. And so then you're like, wow, well, now I'm really a part of the group, you know, and that just kind of gives you this confidence boost that's hard to find, you know, at least for me, I haven't found it in my job. And you don't always get that as a husband or a dad, because you don't always feel like you're doing super great, you know. So I think it's just such a simple thing, just being a part of that group can really help propel you. I would be curious kind of your take on the leadership piece. And, you know, we always like to ask about, like, if you remember your VQ, kind of what was that like? And then also definitely want to hear your thoughts on the leadership opportunity at the Sandlot. What was that like?
Yeah, for as far as the VQ goes, I know it was at the steel mill, because that was High Life's domain. And so I always went there. And so he was the one that, he's like, why don't you come and lead a workout? And it was a simple transition for me, just being a strength and conditioning guy, where I just took a pretty simple full body, you know, hypertrophy set and just took it there, and we did it. And it was a good, like, it was really just kind of trying to remember the things that you say before and after, getting that kind of stuff down. But I was pretty comfortable talking in front of a group. And I remember it being in December. I think it was real close to Christmas time, and it was cold, so we just stayed in the pavilion. There wasn't a whole lot of extra things to do, so it was a good VQ experience. But I always like the leadership thing, where it starts the first time someone's like, you know, hey, why don't you lead this count of this 10 count of Merkins or whatever it is. You start, you know, panicking because you don't know what you're supposed to say or how you're supposed to do it. But like that little first step of leadership, it kind of like gets you going. And then from there, you can do your VQ or whatever, you know, and then your site leading, and it just progresses from there. And I really enjoyed, like, I think that's what keeps the introvert in me coming back out, is having a reason to lead the group. When I first joined, I said I wasn't going to lead a group. I'm like, that's what I do all day, every day, is lead group. So I want to just be a participant for once. And it is nice being the participant, but there's something about being the leader that really does, it pulls you in, like you were saying. It just like makes you feel you're an accepted part of the group. And, you know, whether they like it or not, they're going to have to follow you today. So
yeah. That's awesome. Did you guys, for your VQ, did you have the fire pit going inside of there?
I don't think we did. I don't think there was, I think there was maybe a short number, like it wasn't that many people and we didn't have it going, but you wear enough layers and you do enough moving and then it's not that bad.
Yeah. I, you know, when we first first started working out down there, launched that the pit, it was like somebody was like, oh yeah, we could use this fire pit. And I always thought like, Asher will never use it. And then I remember going down there for something and they had, you know, I forget who it was maybe Gunner or somebody had actually had a fire going in there. And I was like, okay, that's genius. It seemed to work really well. But what, you know, as you think about taking the flag from Baby Shark and that opportunity to lead, what was it like leading at the Sandlot?
Like I said, I didn't really want to lead ever. And there was, after I'd done my VQ and after I'd led a couple of beatdowns at other sites, I think it was really Firewalker and Swiper were just on different runs, you know, poking around, asking me if what I had thought about ever leading the site. And, you know, I hadn't really ever thought about it. And I told them that the one day that I could do it would be Thursday. And like up until that point, I don't think me and Baby Shark really, we just never got on the same, you know, pre-run pace. Like we were just never next to each other. So we never really had any conversations. And so I think, I don't know who had connected us to, but that ended up being working out to where, and I really was happy with the Sandlot being the one that I ended up taking over, just being that neighborhood, that whole, I lived there my whole life. There was a Sandlot beat down where I took them to the apartment I grew up, the townhouse that I lived in junior high, and then the house that I lived in high school. So like nice. that place has been, and that's where I met High Life in that neighborhood. And we rode our bikes all over that. So running the Sandlot there every week was a great, like just flashback to all those memories of riding our bikes around and running by High Life's old house and telling everybody each week, like there's High Life's house. But
yeah, that's awesome. What, as you think about the Sandlot, I know sometimes guys are a little intimidated by running. What was your strategy to kind of convince guys that they could do it? Or did you have guys that were not necessarily runners leading the workout, or how did you approach that?
Yeah, I just anybody who wanted to lead it, or if there was a day, you know, I told them, if you're worried about people getting their miles in, just tell them, you know, there's an out and back option, or there's like, if it's a free to lead situation. So if you're going to have exercises, like have an option that they can run. Cause I know some of the guys do really want their miles on that day, but if you really want your miles on that day, you can pre-run and there's options. So we're all adults, but
yeah.
The Sandlot steel mill, I think that's, I can't remember who I was talking to. It might've been Ray-Ban on the run last week, where it's just a good duo where like people will post at the steel mill who are bruisers, who are like, I'm never running, like I'm not doing any pre-runs. And then somebody like low flow or someone will lead over at the steel mill and make you run a lap around the thing. And then you're like, oh, I got a mile in today. And then before you know it, they do the love run there, and that's like a 2.14, and then you do that a couple times, and you can do the pre-run, and then there's like, you know, the trot, like there, and it goes all the way up to, if you show up early enough, you can get a half marathon in that day. So it's a good like gateway drug into running between those two sites. I saw that progression for many people who started out saying they would never be a runner, and then they show up to a love run, and then before you know it, they're leading at the Sandlot. And as kind of a cool progression to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. That is kind of almost a little bit of a secret sauce, right? Where you know, you're going to get kind of two different types of guys showing up to those workouts, and you put them right next to each other. Right. So it's really easy then for a guy to like kind of be looking over at the running site and realize like, oh, I could do that. Right. And yeah, I love that. I think that's a really, really great idea to have those two sites right there. Did you and Sweet Roll do any planning or any shenanigans while you two were the site cues there?
We did a site swap, like real, it was either the first or second week we did a site swap. So we got that one out of the way quick and early, but it was kind of just, it worked out real good. Sweet Roll, when we first took over, he really did the coffee and I think had some help from maybe, you know, every so often somebody else would bring in some canisters, because we do the joint coffee on site there between the two sites. Which between the two sites can be kind of, you know, a lot of cups of coffee are flowing if you get a good summer day out there. But and so it worked out good. I always felt bad. Just I didn't have a brewer. I didn't have a way to bring the coffee at first. So I felt like Sweet Roll was doing everything and I wasn't doing any part of that. But then Sweet Roll had that job change where he wasn't able to post a lot on Thursdays. And that was right at the time that I bought my brewer. So I just took over. And so it really kind of worked out perfectly as far as we always had coffee. I think there might have been one week where nobody brought coffee. And after that was when my brewer came and we were set after that. So,
yeah, that's it. That's kind of a unique, I don't know if art form is the right word, but like, cause you end up having to brew. Do you start, you just set a timer for it to brew in the morning, or what was your process like to make sure you had coffee ready to go?
Yeah. Everybody's got different strategies. Some guys use those Christmas timers, or some guys brew it in the morning and bring the canisters. I just had an extension cord, and I would always, like, I'd bring everything set up with all the water, and it'd just be sitting there. And right before the beat down, I'd go plug it in, because it took about 30 to 40 minutes to brew. So I'd plug it in, and while we were doing the beat down, it was brewing, and then we'd come over there and it would be ready to go. So it worked out. It worked out real good.
I love it. There's nothing like site coffee. I think that's one of the things. If we could do it at every site, I think we would, but it's a little more challenging, but a little more effort, but it's definitely worth it, because you get more guys, right? It's like, if it's just right there, I can stay for a cup of coffee, right? That's awesome.
Definitely.
What, I would be curious, any advice that you would have for guys as you're thinking about just your time in F3 or your time leading a site, anything come to mind that you would just share as guys are maybe just getting into this sort of thing we call F3?
I think the main advice is the same advice I give everybody in the gym. Like, it's there, use the people. There's going to be people ahead of you that you can use as motivation. And then there's going to be people behind you that you can help motivate. So it really is that you versus yourself. And I always say, keep your eyes on your own paper and just, focus on what you are doing. If somebody else is doing their exercises a little bit more modified than what you would do, don't give them crap. Like, I guess you can give them crap if, like, you know that they could do better and they're just dogging it that day. But if it's just where they're at, that's where they're at today. And maybe 2 weeks from now, they won't be there. But so I think that's the main thing, is even if you're that guy who feels like you're the one dogging your rep, just know that if you keep going, it's day one is the first day you show up. And after that, you just keep going, regardless of what it is, regardless of if it's F3, if it's at the gym, if it's in your home, and just keep doing something so you don't have to do that day one over again, because there's nothing like trying to overcome that first day.
Heck yeah. I love it. I like that, keep your eyes on your own paper. I think that's a really good mantra for guys. I think, especially with like IPC, right? I think that's where we probably see it more often, is guys get tempted to, kind of look over and see what the guy next to him's doing. But this has been great, and I just appreciate you, taking time to share your story, but taking time to lead, it's being a site Q is such an important role for our organization, because we can't serve the community and we can't serve the guys without the site Qs planting that flag every week. So just thank you for doing that. I do want to just tell you your story. I think it's so cool just to hear everything that you have been through, and then to hear you really applying everything you've learned to being a great husband and a great father and a great leader in the community. It's just so cool to kind of watch from my view, and I know guys listening will appreciate it as well. So appreciate you just taking time to share, and appreciate you just being who you are.
Yeah, thank you.
Kind of where we like to wrap up is just kind of getting from you, like, what's currently going on. I think you maybe shared with us the news about your wife being pregnant, so we can definitely be praying for that. But anything else on your mind that you would ask maybe prayers or for?
The prayers for a healthy M and a healthy 2.0 and healthy mindset of a father, but really just me not beating myself up too much. I know a lot of times that's what my wife would say I do, is I set my goals pretty high, and then if I don't get there, it's a good thing, because at least you're still striving for perfection, but just know that you set that bar really high, and it's so I need to keep myself accountable but still be humble and okay with failing at some things. But so really just a healthy body, and we have a lot of running things coming up. We have our the turkey trots coming up, so just making sure that everybody survives the turkey trots. It's gonna be a cold one, so
yeah
but other than that,
sure
just health and happiness.
Heck yeah, man. And you know, I think when you're talking about the expectations, I'm right there with you. And I would just say, you know, I think like, and you said this, but just don't forget, you know, it's okay to set high expectations, but don't forget that you set them so high, right? So if you don't achieve them, you don't have to be so hard on yourself. I struggle with that every day. And just, you know, finding a way to remind yourself that like, hey, it's okay, right? I missed the mark, but I intentionally set it way up there, you know? So yeah, definitely be thinking about you, praying for you on that. That's something that I definitely struggle with too. Well, again, thank you for your time today. This has been phenomenal. We'll do a little name-a-rama here to wrap us up. I'll start Brandon Fleaherty, 38.
I'm Jordan Whaley, 35, Simmons.
Simmons. And do we have a call sign? Has Swiper come up with anything yet?
So when Simmons passed away, Richard Simmons passed away. So for a while it was RIP, like just rest in peace. But then
yeah,
the one that I really liked was like the Tommy Boy Richard. Like,
yeah, that's a good one.
But so anything really, and even nothing is good too. But
we're in that weird gap, right? Where we're not hate and we're not respect, and we got about 10 more years till we get to respect, you know? So it's kind of a, yeah, it's wild. Well, I appreciate your time, man. Have a good rest of your day and a happy Thanksgiving if I don't see you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, man.